Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. En ik hoop dat dit een uitgeslapen zondagmorgen wordt. En morgen ook met dit programma waarin je inspiratie, moed en hoop opdoet voor de komende dagen. En ik denk dat dat niet aan de gasten zal liggen. We praten met Mark Bouwman, een jonge kerel die het criminele pad opging, drugsverslaafd raakte, zelfmoordpogingen deed en uiteindelijk daar terecht kwam waar hij terecht wilde komen. En dat vertelt hij zo meteen. En verder een bekende schrijver uit Amerika die net een bestseller heeft geschreven over het meest inspirerende voorbeeld in ons leven, Christus. En veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. En vandaar dat we snel overschakelen naar Los Angeles.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power. Now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
God's people said, wow. You know, you really got to get a little more physical when you say that. You got to get the old arm going. Are you ready? And all God's people said, wow. Doesn't that feel good? It feels good because we worship a good God. And we need to remember that. We need to remind ourselves that. And right now, I want to give you an opportunity to welcome those who are standing next to you, behind you. Shake their hands and say, God loves you, and so do I. Well, we have a fabulous morning plan. My father is going to be interviewing Laura Beth Jones. She's the best-selling author of Jesus CEO, and she's here to share how to run a successful business based on biblical principles. We have the internationally acclaimed pianist, Egla Yana Lava Chuda, and she's going to be playing for us. She's a spectacular pianist. We have the multi-Dove award-winning singer and songwriter, Sarah Groves. We have Don Newen in the Crystal Cathedral Choir. We have Sean Groombridge at the magnificent Hazel Wright Organ. And we have Mark Riley and the Hour of Power Orchestra. And so we know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the fact that you are, that you live, that you intercede in our lives, and that you continue to open our hearts and our minds with your goodness. So we thank you, Lord, for everything. We praise your name always. Amen.
Thank you. In preparation for the morning message, hear these words from the Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who love him. As far as the east is from the west, so far is his love for us. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting on those who trust him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who remember his commandments and do them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God honor these words, touch you through them. Amen. Thank you. The greatest church choir in the world today. I believe that. I mean it. It's not rhetorical, because they have the greatest choral director. Don Newman, you're fantastic. My guest today is Lori Beth Jones. She is the author of Jesus CEO, a national best-selling leadership training book with Jesus Christ as the ultimate model. very significant. Lots of people are trying to put Jesus down, but he is coming to be seen more and more as an unbelievable leader. Since that time, Miss Jones has become one of the world's leading consultants for businesses wanting to take their work to upper and unparalleled levels of performance, satisfaction, and success. Her books have been bestsellers on the Business Week list and the Wall Street Journal list. They've been translated into 14 languages with worldwide sales of well over 1 million copies. Please welcome with me, Lori Beth Jones. What first interested you in writing a book like Jesus CEO?
Well, I was running my own advertising agency. I had six very creative and diverse and wild people on my team, and I was trying to manage them. So I was looking for business books on leadership that would help me. And these were the books I had to choose from. Looking out for number one, Winning Through Fear and Intimidation, The Art of War in Business, and the one that sent me over the edge was The Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun. And I said, they are desperate for a role model.
I wonder who you reminded me of.
Go ahead.
So I said, here was a leader that only had 3 years to train 12 people.
Ooh, Attila the Hun?
Jesus. Okay. He only had 3 years to train 12 people, none of whom were divine. And he had staffing problems, too. He lost one of them. But he went on to turn the world upside down with people who were willing to work for free and die for him. So this was a leadership wow. role model that anybody could aspire to.
Wow. Wow. And now you're writing a new book, or you've written another book
yes.
since then.
Yes.
Jesus, the coach? Or?
Jesus Life Coach.
Oh, what's that about?
Well, every performer, whether you're an athlete or a musician, all of the greats have coaches. And Jesus is a coach who's available 24/7. He's got skin in the game, literally, on your behalf. He's already declared that he wants you desperately to succeed. So in this book, I talk about how he coaches you into the fullness of being in your life.
I don't know if you mentioned this, but I have been shocked. I've had great friends, famous friends. And Frank Sinatra said to me once, well, I've got to go for my coaching lesson. You don't have a coach. Oh, yes. You've got it all down. He said, but your body is changing every day. You are changing every
yes.
day. And so the finest Christian that you can think of needs a coach.
Yes.
Every day.
Absolutely.
Carry on.
All right. Well, he talks about, I mean, when he becomes your coach, there's four areas that I think every coach should address, whoever they're working with. The first one is focus. He helps you focus on what is the most important thing in your life. And I liken it to fire. What is the fire in you that will not be quenched like Moses until he took action on it? And then the second thing he does is he grounds us like earth. We sang about not building on sinking sand. And your coach is going to help you establish the rules and the rituals and the habits that you can build your dream on. And then the third thing he does as a coach is he transforms you like water. He helps you reflect on things and see things differently so you can look into the depths of what's going on in your life. And then the final thing he does, which is my favorite, like wind, is he releases you to go and fly and live fully your dream.
You know, the longer I live, the more I study, the more impressed I am with the brilliance, divine insights that this Jesus came and taught us.
Yes.
Now, this applies not only to businesses and personally, but to families, right?
Yes, yes.
For instance?
Well, we have a Path for Teens program and a Path for Kids program. In fact, we trained 23 people this weekend at your church, and we teach the adults how to bring out the best in kids. And then at the end of the program, these 13 teenagers stood and recited their mission and their vision for life. And the adults usually just end up weeping. And then we couldn't get the kids to go. They wanted to stay because so many of them say to us in our program, I've been in school 12 years, and this is the first time anyone has ever asked me about me. So what we do is we draw it out of them. Can I just share one story about
please.
A boy named Mario? We were working with a group of 17 first offenders in El Paso, Texas, which is my hometown. And these kids were in for shoplifting or drugs, and it was their first brush with the law, but they were already on a slippery slope. So they didn't want to be there because the judge had ordered them to be there. But we take them through. We help them get clear about their element. Are they most like earth or water, wind or fire? We start relaxing them. We have fun with them. We get them to download all the negative prophecies that people have spoken into their life, which is very... One kid there said, why am I even here? I'm going to be dead at the age of 20. That's what I've been told. So this one kid, Mario, I said, what is your greatest fear in life? And he said, I don't think I'm going to graduate. I'm not going to make it through school. So we have them write a vision statement, and we say, if all things were possible, what would you be doing? Pretend it's 10 years from now, and put us in the moment with you. So he wrote it down, and he said, it's 10 years from now, it's Saturday morning, and I'm at the racetrack, and I'm down in the pits, and I'm helping change the tires, and I'm helping the crew, and we're going to win this race, and I can feel the sun on my back, and I can hear the cheering of the crowds. And I said, well, what would you need to do in order to qualify to be down there in the pits? He said, well, I guess I'd need to become a mechanic. And then he paused and he looked at me and he said, you know, miss, I think what I'd rather do is design the engines that go in the cars. And I said, in order to do that, what would you have to be? And he said, a mechanical engineer. And it was right there in him. Wow. Suddenly he went from the darkness of doubt to the wonder of his own possibility.
Wow.
It's great.
It's great.
Your book, Jesus Life Coach, Learn from the Best. Lori Beth Jones, God loves you and so do I.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
It's a blessing.
Now welcome multi-Dove Award-winning singer and songwriter Sarah Groves. She is singing from her CD, Add to the Beauty. And the song she's singing from that CD is a major piece of music in a movie that's coming out in 2 weeks. Tell us about that movie that's coming out in 2 weeks.
Well, we were really honored to have our song chosen as sort of a theme song for this movie that's about a young man discovering that the ultimate gift in life is not money. And he kind of goes through a series of tests and trials of his spirit and discovers that, money is not the ultimate gift.
Wow. And your CD is available here.
Yes.
You're wonderful.
Thank you.
You're a mother of two or three?
I have two boys, 6 and 3-year-old boys, and I'm expecting this summer my third. So.
Wonderful. God bless you.
Thank
Let's
you.
Hear.
Changed inside me, broke wide open, all spilled out, till I had no doubt that something changed. Oh, never could believe it till I felt it in my own heart, in the deepest part. The healing came. I had no doubt that something changed. Amen.
Gospelzangeres Sarah Groves. En niet ten onrechte heeft ze een aantal keren een Dove Award gewonnen. Vanmorgen hebben we als gast Mark Bouwman. Een jonge vent die het nodige in zijn korte leven heeft meegemaakt. Crimineel, drugsverslaafd, noem het maar op. Maar toch opgegroeid in een goed christelijk gezin. Mark, goedemorgen. Beviel je dat niet, die christelijke opvoeding toen?
Nee, het beviel me niet echt, omdat ik zeg maar altijd moest naar de kerk gaan. En als we naar een bijvoorbeeld restaurant gingen, dan moest je per se met hun aan tafel meebidden en voor een zegen vragen voor het eten. En daar schaamde ik me altijd voor en dat zag ik niet echt altijd zitten. Op een gegeven moment keerde ik me zeg maar, echt van tegen alles af. En niemand die echt in mijn leven kon spreken. En ja.
Je vader niet, je moeder niet?
Nee, zelfs mijn vrienden niet. En niemand die kon me wat zeggen van wat ik moest doen.
De echte problemen kwamen toen je ongeveer 14 was. Wat gebeurde er?
De buurt waar je opgroeit, dus de mensen waarmee je omgaat. En daar word je zeg maar, mee besmet, zeg maar. Dus je gaat met veel kinderen in die buurt die gaan roken, ga je zelf ook mee roken. En zodoende vriendjes van jou die stelen in de winkel of zo. En dan ga je ook stelen. En zodoende is dat bij mij er ook een beetje ingerold. Niet dat ik die mensen de schuld ervan kan geven, omdat ik natuurlijk zelf alles in handen heb. Maar zodoende ben ik zeg maar snoepjes stelen ben ik zeg maar met 100 gulden uit mijn ouders zijn portemonnee stelen en in winkels stelen en inbreken in huizen is het zeg maar van kwaad tot erg geworden. En vanaf sigaret naar een blootje, vanaf een blootje naar een pilletje, vanaf een pilletje naar de poeder zeg maar.
Zo.
Zodoende werd het zeg maar steeds erger.
Hoe oud was je toen?
En, rond mijn 12e zeg maar, had ik een LSD-overdosis. Dus rond die tijd was ik volop bezig met harddrugs al aan het experimenteren. Zeg maar.
Inbreken in een huis is niet niks. Had je geen last van je geweten?
Ja, ik had wel bepaalde gevoelens erbij, maar ja, ik loog mezelf altijd voor van ik praatte mezelf met een leugen praat ik mezelf altijd goed en zo. En,
wat is je beste inbraak geweest?
Dat we ergens sleutel van het huis hadden. En daar kwamen we, zeg maar, was van een of ander bedrijf. En daar kwamen we elke dag, elke avond wel langs.
Om even wat te halen.
Dus ja, en op het laatst zijn we met een bus er langs gereden. Dan hebben we alles weggehaald, ja.
Je was een aardig crimineeltje. Hadden je ouders het thuis door?
Mijn ouders hadden het wel door natuurlijk. Die zagen wel dat het niet goed ging. Maar ik deed ook meestal alles stiekem en zo. Naarmate van tijd kwam ik dus ook in het zwaardere criminele pad. Toen dacht ik van...
Over dat zware criminele pad. Wat ging je doen?
Wietkwekerijen en drugs verkopen. En zodoende dacht ik een beetje in dat criminele pad zeg maar mijn geld gaan verdienen. En veel geld te maken en dan hopelijk blij van te worden en zo. Maar uiteindelijk zag ik dus dat het een en al bagger was. En toen ben ik daar ook mee gestopt. En toen was ik echt... Om die tijd dat ik me echt heel erg vervelend voelde. En ik vertrouwde op een gegeven moment vertrouwde ik helemaal niemand meer. Op een gegeven moment was ik het huis uitgezet. En toen zei ik, ik had nog wat geld, maar dat moest eigenlijk naar schulden. En toen zei ik van ja, als jullie me het geld niet geven, dan hak ik heel het huis kapot met een hakbel. Die, die had ik toevallig nog meegenomen naar het huis, omdat ik hem die avond ervoor had gebruikt. En toen, toen zei ik van, ik hak heel jullie huis kapot als ik het geld niet krijg. En op een gegeven moment toen dacht ik bij mezelf van, waar ben ik mee bezig? Heb ik sorry gezegd. Toen was de politie dus gekomen en ik ben in een psychiatrische inrichting gezet.
Wat gebeurde daar?
Toen ik daar opgenomen werd, stond ik open voor verandering. Maar het heeft me helemaal niks geholpen. Ze kwamen alleen met hele mooie verhalen en ja, het heeft gewoon niks geholpen. Dus,
maar je was er zo ellendig aan toe dat je, dat blijkt ook uit een recent onderzoek, 500.000 Nederlanders denkt na over zelfmoord. Dat je dacht, ik maak een einde aan mijn mooie jonge leven.
Ja, zover is dat dus zelfs gekomen. Ik had, ik heb best wel veel vrienden had ik. En ik heb een goede familie. En, maar toch kwam het zover dat ik geen zin meer had om verder te leven. En,
je kwam op een gegeven moment terecht bij Victory Outreach. Dat is een opvangcentrum, ook een kerk. Heel bijzonder, in Rotterdam onder andere, die mensen opvangen, wat ze ook gedaan hebben, wie je ook bent, crimineel, verslaafd, je bent er van harte welkom. Waarom deed je die stap?
Ik gaf het ook weer een kans, maar ik dacht ook van, ja, dat zullen ook alleen maar weer praatjes worden en mooie halleluja worden en dingen. Maar uiteindelijk, nadat ik er 2 weken zat, heb ik toch echt een aanraking van God gehad. Zodoende ben ik op mijn knieën gegaan. En nadat ik daar 2 weken zat en ik vroeg God als hij zou bestaan, of hij dan, dan in mijn hart zou willen komen en of hij dan met zijn liefde zou willen komen. En op dat moment nadat ik dat vroeg, kwam er zo'n liefde in mijn hart die ik gewoon niet kon beschrijven. En al die rotgevoelens die er normaal met drugs en seks en uitgaan en mijn hobby's niet uit konden gaan, die gingen er allemaal uit. Dus al die pijn, al die haat, al die schuldgevoelens.
Zomaar?
Die gingen zomaar in één keer uit het niets binnen 1 seconde eruit, zeg maar. En er kwam liefde voor in de plaats die ik gewoon niet kon beschrijven. Sindsdien leef ik nu nog met God. En ik heb gewoon een mooie toekomst. En ik ga met blijdschap het leven tegemoet. En,
hoe lang geleden is dat?
Dat is nu 3 jaar, zo'n 3 jaar geleden. Dus ja.
En
dus,
je bent nooit meer teruggevallen?
Nee, ik ben nooit meer echt teruggevallen. Zo. En,
goed contact met je ouders?
Ik heb weer goed contact met mijn ouders. En,
je woont zelfs bij ze weer.
Ja, dus ik ben echt heel erg blij. En, ja.
Mark, ik weet dat je het niet makkelijk vond om hier vanmorgen je verhaal te vertellen. Maar ik ben blij dat je het gedaan hebt. En ik hoop dat je heel veel mensen ermee hebt geholpen. Ik ben blij dat je de weg terug hebt gevonden naar de vader, zoals dat heet. Ik geef je graag dit boek. Het is het verhaal van de verloren zoon. Schilderij van Rembrandt. En het is het moment dat de verloren zoon thuiskomt. En zoals jij ook zei, ja, ik moest voor God knielen. Deed die verloren zoon dat ook. En hij kwam terug bij de vader. En de vader is God. En ik hoop dat je het boek met genoegen leest.
Nogmaals,
bedankt dat je hier was.
Yes.
Ja. Ja, en misschien heb jij ook vanmorgen gekeken en gedacht, dat herken ik wel. Ik zit er zelf ook middenin. Of misschien ben je ouder van een kind wat het spoorbijster is. Je hoorde van Mark dat gebed echt helpt. Hij ging op zijn knieën en vroeg God om hem te helpen. En God heeft hem zomaar in 1 keer, dat gebeurt echt, ik geloof dat ook echt, hem geholpen. Nou, we hebben een gebedsteam bij Hour of Power. En als je een gebedsverzoek hebt, als je zegt, ik heb ook gebed nodig, het lukt mezelf niet, dan doen we dat graag. Stuur een e-mail of een brief. Het wordt helemaal vertrouwelijk behandeld. En we hopen dat we ook op die manier jou of u kunnen helpen. Dat doen we graag als Hour of Power. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral voor een schitterende piano recital.
Now it's my pleasure to welcome to the Crystal Cathedral for the first time Lithuanian-born, internationally acclaimed pianist Aya Leviatuta. Now, she's lived and performed throughout Europe and the United States, having served on the keyboard faculties of the Academy of Music, the University of California, Santa Barbara. She's currently teaching at Westmont College in Santa Barbara. And I want to say to you, I have two granddaughters, students right now in Westmont. And I hope they can meet you. They might even take classes from you. They're both beautiful girls. Teaches in Santa Barbara and is director of music ministry at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Goleta. Welcome, Agla. You come across as a very mature and responsible Christian. Were you born into a Christian family?
Yes, I was.
In Lithuania?
Yes.
That's remarkable. And you grew up during those years when they were a Soviet republic, right?
Right.
But were you able to worship in a church during those years?
Not quite openly, but we still did.
Well, thank you. Play for us one of your remarkable pieces. And if you can, watch the keyboard also to sense and see the movement of fingers that have made her so internationally acclaimed at the highest level. I'm so thankful you are here.
It's very good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. And thank you for trying. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm going to be sharing with you for the next few weeks some lessons and some understanding about happiness. Finding happiness from the inside out. The Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. And those are tremendous words for us to hear today. God has not given us a spirit of fear. When I was a young man, I entered seminary. When I entered my seminary, I had a tremendous fear. The fear was one that completely disabled my ability to teach, to preach, and have any vital role as far as a minister would participate in. I was so deathly afraid of people that if I was in a small group of, say, 6 to 8 people, and I had to actually share my name, that this fear would grip me, and my palms would start getting sweaty, and I would be literally terrified of the fact that I would count the people. Okay, they're 3 away. They're now 2 away. I'm next. I'm up. My name's Robert Schuller. Yep, that's it. I did it. Whew. And that was it. And it was like that. I had this tremendous fear all the way until I went to the seminary. Not until I entered seminary did I actually overcome this tremendous fear. And it was just a gift from God. God's Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of self-discipline. The spirit of power. What do you think of when you think of power? There's all types of power. And the Spirit of God gives each and every one of us power. And the power that He gives us is for a purpose and for a reason. Our text comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now, if you go and you read verse 6, the verse immediately preceding this, I want you to hear these words. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fan the flame which is in you, says Paul. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. He has given us, every single one of us, the power that we need to fulfill and to flame that spark, that gift that God has given to you. And He will give you the power to fulfill the calling that God has for your life. And when you do, you will succeed. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love. The scary thing about power is that if it is not connected with love, it has the power to do tremendous evil and tremendous bad things. Money is referred to as a tremendous powerful thing. In fact, the Bible refers, and some people misquote the Bible and say that the root of all evil is money. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a big difference. Because we have been called to love people and use money. And never use people and love money. So we are called and given this spirit of love. To be able to use money, to use the power that God has given to us, to use our influence, to use our connections, to use our relationships with our family, to produce something that is tremendous and beautiful and glorious. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you, said St. Paul. For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. Self-discipline is the translation I refer to. It's given that way in the New International Version. If you go to the King James, some of you have probably memorized this verse as a sound mind. But I think the words self-discipline works much better because it takes us beyond philosophical thought to a real action where we self-discipline ourselves to use the power in a loving way to fulfill the gift that God has given to us. So we have the spark, we have the Spirit of God which comes and inflames this spark with its power and its love, and then it gives us the ability to do something about it, to take action, and not to be gripped with fear, but to live with faith, knowing that we can succeed. James 4:17 says this, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. It's pretty strong, isn't it? You know that what you're supposed to be doing, you have the spark within you of the gift that God has given to you. You're flaming the flames. And then if you don't go and use the power and use the love that God has given to you, James says it is a sin. In theology, we call it the sin of omission, where we could always do more. There's always more we can do, but we never can do it all. And so we sin. But the good news is the grace of Jesus Christ comes, and he forgives our sins, and he washes us clean, and he gives us the ability to recognize his grace and live in his faith. But we have to do something. Don't worry whether or not you have all the skills, have all the talents and all the means. Sometimes you just have to get out there and do it. I went to college in Holland, Michigan. You might not believe this, but it gets cold in Holland, Michigan. In fact, a lot of my friends' families would go, and what they would do is they would flood their backyards in the wintertime. You know what happens when you flood your backyard in the wintertime? You get a few inches of ice, and then you put a little net around that, and you've got yourself a hockey rink in your backyard. And so they just built hockey rinks in their backyard. It doesn't cost anything. Just run the hose for a little while, and voila, there you have a built-in hockey rink. So I went to my friend's house. They said, let's play hockey. And I says, well, where's the hockey rink? He's in the backyard. I go, you got to be kidding me. I walked out there, and there it is. I says, well, I've never ice skated before. At least I haven't ice skated since I was 5 years old. And the last time I ice skated, it was terrible. I really am not an ice skater. He says, well, just put these skates on and let's see. So I put them on and I went out on that ice like this. I'm skating. Yes, sir, I'm skating. And then all of a sudden they threw the puck in front of me and they said, get it. I said, oh, okay. I went a little faster. And then I went by me, and before I knew it, within about 10 minutes, I didn't care about falling anymore. Everyone was falling. That was not the point. The point was you couldn't let the puck get past you, and you had to get the puck and get it in the net. And all of my fear was gone, and my focus was on accomplishing getting this puck in the net. And within a half an hour, I was racing up and down, chasing this puck, and he was absolutely right. Everybody can skate. They're just gripped with fear. that they're going to fall. And so they don't move, and they just slowly move like this, and their knees shake, and their ankles quiver. And it's a terrifying thought. But when you focus your mind on the goal, when you focus your mind on the spark that God has given to you, and allow the Spirit of God's power to inflame that spark and fuel it with love, you discover that there is nothing you can't do with God. Don't wait until you have all of the skills. If you're scared to death of people and God's called you to go to seminary and figure out that God will give you the gifts you need. If God's called you to play hockey and He wants you out on that ice, get out there and play the hockey. But I recommend you do that before you're 50 years old. If God's called you to start a house of power, if you don't know what our houses of power are on, go to our website and look it up. We've got all the information on a house of power. And there are going to be places where you can go and you can grow spiritually and you can take these messages and learn how to apply them to your life. You can discover what that spark is in your life. You can discover the power of God in a new, dramatic, powerful way. There are people who are listening to my voice right now who have heard this idea of a spark for the first time. And you're ready to build a fire. Today is the day you're going to say yes to Jesus. Because Jesus has come. That we might have hope, that we might have love, that we might be able to do what God has called us to do. So I want you to say a prayer with me and begin today. Dear Jesus, ignite the spark within my soul and create a flame within my heart to release within me the peace that overflows when I put my trust in you. And give me the confidence, the power, the love, and the self-discipline that you have promised, that I might be the person you've called me to be. So I thank you for this time, for this spirit, for this reality, for your goodness. And so I cast my cares upon you. Because I know you care for me. I love you, Lord. And I thank you for everything. I love you. Amen. Beth Jones will be over at the bookstore signing her books, Jesus CEO and Jesus Life Coach. If you want to go over there, you can get her autograph. Two really good, helpful, beneficial, wonderful books. You'll want to get those. Next week, we have Kristen Armstrong, who will be sharing her inspiring story and testimony of God's healing power in the midst of her public divorce. And it's going to be a fabulous morning as we continue to feel the presence of God. So bring a friend. Invite someone. Call someone up before you leave the campus today and see if they're available to come to church next week. Don't forget, And now with that, let me give you this benediction. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit fill your hearts and your minds with the joy of God's grace and goodness. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
Wat gaat al snel, zo'n uur, hour of power. Het vliegt voorbij. En dat vindt u en jij misschien ook, ik in ieder geval wel. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. We kunnen in contact blijven met elkaar. Kijk naar www.hourofpower.nl. En heel leuk om te vermelden is dat de kerkdiensten van weken terug en van maanden terug te zien zijn als je aanklikt op video kerkdiensten. Dan kun je nog eens laten inspireren door zogezegd een oude dienst. Wij nemen afscheid en dat doen we graag, maar niet voor lang, want volgende week zondag hopen we weer te zijn. Iedereen hartelijk bedankt en graag tot volgende week.